thank you, dear friend, for tuning in with me for this episode of Persons in Focus. Today we are joined by our Persons in Focus. She came here in 2022 and instantly fell in love with Barrio. She's an avid traveler and her job allows her to work remotely. And we'll be talking about that pretty soon. So please welcome Miss Suraya. Hi.
Hello, Orang Barrio.
Yo, yeah. What an honor it is to have you on our episode of Persons in Focus. Please tell us about yourself, who you are and what you do.
Okay, I'm Suraya. I'm from Kuala Lumpur, a part-time traveler.
Okay.
And a full-time corporate slave. Work remotely.
Working for the man.
Yes, and having fun at the same time. Yeah.
So your hometown is the concrete jungle?
Yeah, the concrete jungle of Kuala Lumpur.
All right. Wait, so your name is Suraya?
With an I.
With an I, okay. Yeah.
So there's story, actually.
Okay, sure.
My
let's,
name.
Let's go there. Yeah.
So basically, when my father registered my name, so happened the officer is, this is according to my late mom.
Okay.
So according to her, so when they did register my name,
yeah.
So the officer is the Indian lady.
Oh, okay.
So when they just mentioned like, so we want to put our daughter's name as Suraya, and she just spelled it with the I.
Okay.
As she speak.
Okay.
So that's why. But it make it special to me, because okay. Normally people with just, you know, Suraya without the I.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be spelled Suraya on
the. Yeah. Normally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this has like this kind of, it does kind of sound a bit Indian, don't you think?
Yeah, Suraya. That's why.
Yeah.
It's like Suraya.
Yeah, can. Yeah. So you mentioned you're a part-time traveler and a corporate slave.
Full-time corporate slave. Yeah.
So tell us about your part-time traveling. You know, tell us about the travels and the things you've come across, the places you went to.
I have been to, like, I think, okay, basically, I have this dream since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I wanted to travel the world.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I still remember when I said that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And at some point, I was thinking to be a stewardess.
Oh.
So that I can travel, you know. But that's not the case. I don't have the heights to be a stewardess. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So long story short, it was like from when I was still a kid. And then when I finished study and start my career and I start travel.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, starting I just like travel, like, you know, just a tourist, go to this place and that place. And after a while, I kind of find my style.
Okay.
So what I like and, you know, so on.
Yeah.
So yeah. And now I'm here in Barrio, sitting in the radio station with you.
Yeah. How's that like?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
New beginning for the new year.
Yeah. First podcast lagi, like literally ever.
Yeah, I'm super nervous.
Yeah. Don't be nervous. It's okay. Like, everyone gets to, at least next time you can tell your friends, like, I've been on a podcast.
Yeah. I can brag about it. Right?
Yeah.
So I've been to like few countries. I don't have like favorite, because to me every places have their own charm and, you know, uniqueness. So yeah, I just enjoy and explore.
Okay, so you mentioned that, you know, you're a part-time traveler and then you always dreamed about traveling. And you started traveling and somehow you ended up here in this radio station in the middle of a jungle. you have to tell us, you know, like how did you find out about Barrio, you know, and how and why did you fall in love with Barrio?
Okay. So I like to read. So I read a lot. I read a book. I read a blogs and all.
Okay.
So one day I came across an article about Barrio.
Okay.
So when I read that article, it's just like, okay, Barrio is one of the most remote area in Borneo. So that's attract me. Wow. This is the most remote area in Borneo.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wonder how the people live there. It just like that's the pulling factor for me to come to Barrio. And yeah, I never been to Sarawak before 2022, but the first time I'm here in Sarawak, yeah, I went to Barrio.
Wow.
Straight away.
This is literally the first place you come to.
The first place in Sarawak that I've been to.
Yeah. I mean, like Balai Tahan, like most people would be going to Kuching or like.
Yeah, to, because I like to travel the untraveled, you know, destination.
Yeah.
That's why.
places unknown.
Yeah, less, you know, travel.
So when you came here, what, how did you find Barrio? You know, why did, what makes you fall in love with Barrio? I mean, this is what I understand that you come here often.
Yeah, this is my fourth time here.
Wow, in 2 years? Wait,
yes.
2022 to 2024.
2022, the first time I was here is in September 2022.
Okay.
So less than 2 years.
Wow, four times in less than 2 years.
Yeah.
And some of my buddies here haven't been here once. So you heard that, you got to come here. You come here, you come on my show, and I bought you go makan.
Yeah. They have a good food here.
What makes you fall in love with Barrio?
Okay, the first time I was here, I just fell in love with the authentic city of the people, the place, the life here, the tranquility.
Yeah.
It just, I don't think I, so far, I can find somewhere else. It's just different. So even though I went to another places, my heart keep on pulling me to this place.
Wow.
Somehow, some reason.
And then,
and every time I was here, there's something magical happened to me personally. Yeah. So
is it Exhibit A, your first podcast today?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Yeah. I cannot wait to when I start to have like visual gear, it'll be much more fun.
Yeah.
But it makes thing actually more nervous actually.
Don't mention.
Okay. Yeah. Aside from Barrio, where have you been? Your travels?
Yeah, basically for 2024, we just start 2024, right?
Yeah.
So I left home on 4th of January.
Okay.
So I went to Penang for a few days, and then I flew to KK for a few days, and then I went to Brunei for the royal wedding.
Literally, you went there for the royal wedding.
Coincidentally.
Wait, did you manage to go into the
Istana? Yeah, I went to the parade.
Wow.
So I can like, you know, see the royal couple right in front of my eyes.
Wow. Yeah. That's something.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was very packed.
Yeah, it was very packed. And it just like, you know, it feel like Hari Raya because everyone's like going to the parade wearing baju kurung, baju Melayu and all.
Yeah,
it's just me in my travel gear. I mean, travel outfit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was nice ambience.
Yeah. Memang meriah lah.
Meriah gila.
Wow. I can imagine.
I think what makes it special because of Prince Martin.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. So, was that your first time in Brunei?
Yes.
Oh.
It was my first.
So, first time in Brunei, usually we get this cool wedding. What pushed you to travel to Brunei at that time?
Just that because last year I did my Borneo kind of adventure. So, I'm continuing the journey.
Okay.
So, since I never been to Brunei, might as well I just, you know, stop by for 2-3 days and see, the normal attraction there, you know. So coincidentally, it's a royal wedding.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, it's part of the routes that I plan for.
Okay. All right. Now, aside from Brunei, where else? Tell us like your special travels, you know, like you started this Borneo tour, you know, Borneo
adventure.
Yeah. The Borneo adventure, Sue's Borneo adventure as of last year.
Yeah, I started in October last year. So I went to KK. I went to Sabah.
Yeah.
I went to like almost the west coast of Sabah. Is it West Coast or East Coast? I can't remember. But so I from KK, I went to Kundasang, Kuda, and all. And then I went to Beaufort by train.
Oh, okay.
And then the next day, I went to Tenom by bus.
Okay.
I made a like a day trip to Tenom.
This is the place where they produce the
coffee.
The buah kan? Buah Tenom, is it?
No, Tenom famous with the coffee.
Oh, okay.
I'm a coffeeholic.
Okay.
So yeah, so that's why everyone just want to see and taste the coffee there.
Remind me to next. I'm gonna try to look for it. Remind me to look for Uncle Nawan's local coffee. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, it's mild, but it has this. Yeah, ada rasa lemak lemak.
In Barrio.
Yeah, he grew his own coffee.
Oh, and really?
And he.
How come I didn't, you know about it?
Yeah, I pun baru tahu like as of last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's out in production, but it's just not on a large scale lah. So definitely shout out to Uncle Nawan. I'm waiting for you to be on my show. Yeah. I'm also trying to get him on my show. Ah. He's been like super busy also. So then Tenom and then.
Yeah, Tenom and then I went back to KK and I went to KK last time because I wanted to go to Tip of Borneo. It's kind of a bucket list for the year. Yeah. So I went there twice during the trip with the different people, with different, you know, travel buddy. And after Tenom, I can recall because it's like back to back travel.
Wow.
So I think after Tenom, I back to KK and back home, if not mistaken.
Then back to work again.
For a few days, and then I went for a New Zealand spring trip.
Oh. Okay.
So I was in New Zealand for 3 weeks.
Wow. How was Middle Earth? Did you meet Frodo and the gang?
Yeah, I wish, but I couldn't find them.
They after Lord of the Rings 3, I think they pergi cuti sekejap kot.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're out of the job now, so you couldn't find them anywhere.
Yeah. Back to the 9-to-5 jobs.
Yeah.
So like how was New Zealand like? Which part of New Zealand were you in?
So I flew to Auckland and stayed overnight there. And the next day I flew to Christchurch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spent 11 days on the camper van.
Okay.
So we are doing the South Island tour.
Wow.
By camper van.
Wow.
Yeah.
Camper van means it's a caravan. You stay
you
in the
there,
van.
You sleep there. You
shit there. Semua dekat sana lah.
Yes, you cook there.
But your food, I mean like, You be passing towns and all that.
Yeah, we passing town and we stop by to buy groceries and we cook. And of course we do, I mean, sometimes we just go to the local, you know, place, try their food. But most of the time we cook.
So, I mean like, I hope this is not a sensitive question for you, but, you know, for a Muslim buddy who is listening, how did you find halal food in were there a great number of halal foods in New Zealand?
In South Island, not really actually.
Okay. Yeah, so you had much. To cook
yeah on you your have own. To cook or you bring some your ready to eat stuff.
Okay.
But in Queenstown there are some, but not all the main city. Yeah,
so you have to be wary a bit of your food because you know, some of them they ate some bacon and then you gotta be.
And even the fish and chip.
Yeah.
So not many people know that fish and chip the better. They use beer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But because of normally people think like especially Muslim, they just like it's a fish, so they thought it's halal, but it's not the case.
Yeah.
So you have to check whether you know, you need to like ask them if they have soda to substitute the beer so that you can eat.
So New Zealand, camper van. How long again did you say? It was 3 weeks?
11 days on camper van.
So that's about almost 2 weeks plus.
Yeah, 2 weeks plus. And we did around almost 3,000 kilometers.
Wow.
Yeah. We traveled almost 3,000. 2920 to be exact.
but you guys have to like really service your vehicles and whatnot.
We need to stop at the paid camper van every 3 days to charge the camper van.
Okay. Yeah. To charge
the power.
Oh, it's an electric.
It's not an electric because they have the fridge inside the camper van and all stuff, right? They have TV and all. So you need to have to power up the battery. So you just need to charge.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, the alternator tidak cover.
No.
so cool. Yeah. I once saw this mobile home mm-hmm. in Kuching. I think it was made by Toyota, I think. So like I always imagine like getting one of those here in Barrio,
uh-huh.
and just like live in the middle of the jungle. But I thought like that's redundant because I'm already in the middle of the jungle, living in the longhouse. So never mind lah.
It's kinda hard to bring the motorhome here.
Yeah. Well, 4-wheel drive though. So yeah. Now suddenly become advertisement for Toyota. Okay. All right. So through your own perspective. I mean, like, you've been here in Barrio 4 times in less than 2 years. I mean, that's got to say something. Mm-hmm. So you fell in love with this place. I mean, but through your own perspective, what do you see in Barrio as an outsider? You know, what may you wish that maybe our locals, especially the young people here, you know, can cultivate more on?
Yeah, when I read the question, it's actually, I'm not thinking about the youth.
Okay. It is
so
fine.
It's just in general. So, to be honest, I just like Barrio as it is.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's why I came here, like, you know, more than a time. But in terms of, you know, things that we can improve here, maybe, yeah, the basic infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the internet.
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
Starlink.
Yeah, soon. I cannot wait for that.
So that I can have a room here and work from here.
Boleh,
right?
So you heard that. She said she is going to have a room here. Definitely.
Because I heard there's like 4 empty rooms here.
And definitely I'm going to have to start figuring out a segment for her here. Sue's trouble.
I feel the pressure.
And you know, what kind of message may you have for our community, for our youth, for people like you and me, you know?
Don't limit yourself by limitation.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a deep, if you can think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So especially like living in this area.
Yeah.
I easily like respect people, someone like you.
Thank you.
And my friend here, Paul.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you guys live here with all the limitation, but you are still, you know, keeping up with the outside world.
Yeah.
So that's something that, wanted to say.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, like, even if you, like yourself, if you were to limit yourself to just that desk job, you know, I mean, you can just choose to stay at your cubicle, right?
Yeah. So that's what happened to me, actually.
Well,
it's part of COVID impact personally.
Okay.
Because during COVID, we work from home.
Yeah.
So everything can be done like remotely, right? So I always have this, you know, dream to travel the world.
Yeah.
So back in 2016, I took career break for 2 years to do this thing.
Okay.
And helping out my brother on his business.
Okay.
Then I'm back on, you know, on this industry. And after COVID, it just that made me realize anything can happen.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what's coming. So I just feel that I want to pursue my dream.
Yeah.
When I was still, you know, young and still have energy to travel, right? So I talked to my boss,
mm-hmm.
we discussed, and I was thinking to opt for digital nomad.
Okay.
So I already explored the opportunity and all.
Okay.
I have some plan on doing digital nomad and stuff before I talk to my boss.
All right.
But when I talk to my boss, it's just that if I wanted to pursue my travel, I cannot work with the company, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he came out with this like win-win solutions. Yeah. So starting 2013, I obtained special approval.
Cool.
To work remotely.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we we'll definitely get deep into that after this. Mm-hmm. And how can someone find and connect with you?
I do have Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I can share the, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
So, right, the links to Sue's Instagram will be in the description. So, please do support her. So, we gonna go for a short break.
Sure.
Yeah. To.
I need to drink water.
All right. Yeah.
Suffocate. No, all right. Just kidding.
So we're gonna go for a short break, and after this, we're gonna go deep into this segment as per usual. The persons in focus, the Suraya story. It's a scoop. All right. Okay. For joining us again in this episode of Persons in Focus, and our persons in focus today is Suraya. And right now we are going to go into the core of this segment, the persons in focus, the Suraya story. So Suraya, welcome back.
I'm still here.
Yeah. Well, basically we haven't moved anyway. Yeah. Right. So tell us your background, you know, where did you grow up? Tell us about your parents, your upbringing, and how many siblings you have.
Okay, I was born in Perak and raised in Kuala Lumpur. I got my primary and secondary education in KL. Basically, I just spent the whole life in KL. So I study in KL, I stay in KL, and yeah, I live in KL. All my family are in KL,
yeah,
except one of my brother. So okay. I have I have 8 siblings.
Okay.
So I'm the lucky 7.
Wow.
So I have 4 sisters and 3 brothers.
Okay.
So I'm the second life in the family, and the youngest girl in the family, and the only one which is still single until now.
Ah, belum lagi jumpa.
Belum lagi jumpa.
Okay. So, if you jumpa, are you going to bring him here to Barrio, please?
Definitely.
Okay, so, you said you grew up in KL. Where did you go to school?
Okay. Secondary is in Ampang, my secondary school. So primary school in Kajang. So my former school is called Anak-Anak Syaitan.
What?
So that's, yeah, that's how. Yeah, sekolah anak-anak syaitan.
Okay, that's new. Okay,
no, it's actually sekolah Sultan Abdul Aziz Shah. But you know, we always been called sekolah anak-anak syaitan.
Must be tempat banyak budak nakal di sana.
Ah, yeah.
Patutlah.
And the smart one also.
Okay. Alright. How was your upbringing? You know, like, did you grow up in a traditional family, or you know?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, my mom is a really strict mom.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, both of my parents divorced when I was 7.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I live with my mom.
Okay.
From that point, when I was 7, we moved. I mean, my father is a police officer.
Okay.
So we were like here and there. That's where I was born, Perak.
Okay.
So
okay.
While he's there, and then when they divorced, they were in Perak. So
oh,
we moved
okay.
back to like the family moved back to KL, and I live with my mom.
Okay.
And my mom passed away when I was 14 years old.
Oh, okay. So.
And yeah.
So who? Sorry to ask, after your mom passed away, who took care of all
yeah,
of you?
So basically in my family, we have like two group of, you know, siblings.
Yeah.
They were like the first 5 and the last 3.
Okay.
So the gap between the two group around 8-9 years.
All right.
So the last 3, we being like, you know, separated.
Okay.
Because one, you know, sister taking over after one.
Okay.
And I stay with my sister.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So she was, I'm guessing she was pretty strict, so.
Yep.
Good.
Very strict, because I'm the only girl.
In the younger.
The younger. Yeah. So, they are overprotective.
Bagus lah.
Yeah.
Bagus.
In a way, yeah.
I mean, if you look at the generations before this, Ken, I think our parents were stricter or more strict than, you know, the generations now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even say bodoh last time. My mom will like scold.
Oh.
There is incident when I was still a kid.
Yeah.
So my mom chili my mom because I said bodoh to my brother.
Abis lah.
So yeah. That's really like, you know, lesson learned for me. And I'm not swearing after that.
Yeah. So all I can tell you is siapa suruh.
Well.
and then you know how us Asian parents would be like, not like, hey, please don't do that, please don't do that. You know, Asian parents will be like, okay, buat lah. Okay, do. What? Okay, buat.
We thought like, yeah, literally like, thinking, yeah, just do. Yeah. Then we do.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when our parents say that, oh, terus tidak jadi, kita mau buat.
Yeah, my mom's really strict.
And what about your relationship with your dad? Did you guys still keep in contact? And
Not really at the beginning, actually. Uh-huh. So, it's just like when everyone like grew up, then only we like back. And I think we just like really had a good relationship around less than 2 years with our dad.
Okay.
Before he passed.
And how old were you when he passed away?
20 something, 20-ish.
Wow.
Yeah, early 20.
Wow. So, sorry to hear that. My condolences. Then, you know, when your parents divorced, how did it affect your studies? And,
yeah, of course, but we were still young. You know, I'm 7, my brother 8, my youngest 5. So, but overall, of course, it's affected everyone, right?
Yeah.
But when my mom passed away, it's actually the turning point for me, myself. Because before that, I'm quite, you know, naughty. I don't listen.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, you know. So, yeah. When she passed, that's really, you know, a wake-up call for me. don't take things for granted.
Yeah.
You should appreciate people around you. And yeah, even though it's a like sad thing happen, but I think that's what make me strong.
Yeah.
And I think starting then, because I don't have anyone.
Yeah.
I just have my sister and she's working.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically I spend the rest of my day at yeah. home alone.
Oh, I see.
So that also when I think I start building my connection with God, you know.
Yeah.
So I depending on him, always talk to him.
So you start to bersolat lah masa tu.
Yeah, so, I mean normally Muslim family they teach their kids to start pray solat when they were 7.
Yeah,
but yeah.
yeah,
you go into, you know, deeper because you don't have anyone to talk to.
I understand. On my own self, so I started to discover, you know, God when I lost my dad. You know, I would follow my dad to mass, you know, go to church for the sake of just following, you know, like just a tradition, you know. And then when my dad passed away, I thought like, there's a reason he do this, you know. I was trying to look for a place to fill up the hole, the wound in my heart, lah. And I encountered God in my room that time.
Wow.
So it's another long story that I'm gonna tell you off record, lah.
Okay.
So when someone, especially a parent, pass away, that's where we usually have to step up and actually, you know, grow up. If my dad didn't pass away, I don't think I would have started to be responsible as an adult. He would bail me out of a lot of things. I was a real troublemaker last time, you know. Yeah. Like proper troublemaker, to the point that I look at like my old self and look at me now. It's like, wow, like I cannot believe that was me.
Mm-hmm.
And the old Jacob is dead and gone, lah. But
yeah, I think same thing happened to me as well. So when my mom passed, I feel like this whole world just, you know.
Yeah. Can.
Yeah, because they divorced and we live with her and now she's gone. And I was just like 7. 14 years old. And yeah. And I like, you know, I don't really listen to her.
Yeah.
And I really disappointed after, you know, she passed. I feel like I don't spend enough time with her.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wish if I knew, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. But it's a turning point.
Yeah.
And starting that, I never take things for granted.
Yeah. Sometimes you always look back and ask, like, sometimes I ask myself, you know, would dad be proud of me if he saw me now? I'm sure you think like that when you think about your mom as well.
Yeah. I always told myself I need to study art because I mean, in my family, I think one of the smartest kid. So since I'm still young, so I always get like good grades, even though I did not like really study and stuff.
Okay. Is your family like an academic family, you know, like focused on study? No?
No, not really. Because my father is the police officer. My mom is just a housewife.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And then I know because I know what my mom want me to be and all, you know. So, starting then, I start, you know, focus study. I don't really have like teenage life.
Okay.
Because I just like, you know, study.
Well, I mean, like, you can see the fruits of it now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're definitely
buah, so,
right? Yes. Oh, wow. That was a pretty deep one. 8 of you siblings.
Broken family.
Yeah. Striving
to live. To live.
Do you still keep in contact with your family? I mean, like, do you all still, like, come together, have dinner once a week?
It's a big family, you know.
Yeah.
I have, like, 8 siblings. And then I think I have around 23, 24 nephew and nieces.
Wow. Ayo.
Yes. And I have maybe 13 grandchildren. nieces and nephews.
So, okay.
So, yeah. So, whenever we do the gathering, yeah, we don't need to invite, you know, anyone else because it's just like...
Yeah. Wah, kalau raya... happening lah ni.
Yes.
So, do you have like... Do you guys still have like the family house that you grew up in or
yeah.
Okay, so yeah, everyone goes there for raya lah.
Because one of my sisters stayed there.
So, okay. I can imagine happening. Tapi
meriah
gila. Yeah. So,
but I will be broke every time.
Duit raya.
So I need to, you know, save for a year.
Yeah, duit raya. Wih, boleh tahan juga auntie ni, banyak juga duit raya dah pagi.
Everyone like queuing. So yeah. I'm like kind of like favorite auntie.
Because like surely they all gossip with each other. Hey, auntie Su punya duit raya besar.
They call me Achu, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, they call me Achu. I mean, in the family, they call me Achu. So, Achu. Yeah. Everyone like waiting for Achu.
Tunggu duit raya ni. Yeah. We all always have that one auntie or uncle.
Yeah.
Myself, I have this one, my late auntie. She's like my dad's second elder sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to like be around her because like when I was a baby, she jaga me, right? So she always call me Intan. plus I'm my dad's only child. And my dad was very close to her because my dad is the second youngest. And after that is my auntie, Darling, they call her, because she's the youngest. So these two lah. So every time I go see my auntie, you know, she slid like 50 ringgit into my hand. That time it's like early 2000s, late 90s, like that. 50 ringgit low money, you know. there was commercial breaks again. So 23.
Yeah. Actually I lost count, but it's around that.
It's around there lah. Cucu sudah
about 13. The eldest is like 14 years old. So whenever I go out with her, it's like buddy. So when she start calling me nenek next to, everyone was like,
serious ke?
Nenek ke ni?
Wah. Okay. So do you have a clubbit name?
Yes, I do. I do have a clubbit.
Yeah. What is
so,
it?
So my clubbit name is Bulan. Bungan. Sorry.
Bungan. Okay.
It's a Bungan.
Okay. I have to go back and have to research what the name means, because I didn't ask Kati cakap. But yeah, it's a pretty common name as well. A nice clubbit name.
It was given by Uncle David Labang.
So
he named me. I don't know. I think he named everyone that he, you know.
Yeah. Possibly.
Yeah. So yeah, my name is Bungan.
Yeah. So yeah. That's wonderful story. A bit bitter, a bit sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you, Suraya. So now tell us your life story. You know, you said you're a project controller, a full time slave.
Corporate slave.
And on a part-time traveler. So now tell us your life story, how you got into being this project controller, and how someone can get into this field. You know, can you please give us a deep dive into your profession? You know, like, just no holds barred, no filter.
So accounting is a boring subjects, according to many.
Yeah.
So, I don't really like accounting before, to be honest.
Yeah.
Before I decide to, you know, study accounting.
Yeah.
My ambition was to be a interior designer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. But when I think back, I just like thinking the market.
Okay.
So if I studied this, the market is only, you know, in that industry, right? But if I study accounting, my prospect is bigger.
Yeah.
So every company in this, you know, country would, you know, need accounts staff, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's
correct.
Where it start.
Correct.
So I study accounting, finish study, I get a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I start from, you know, below.
Yeah, yeah.
Start doing like clerical thing and okay. until, you know.
As an accountant? So.
Account officer.
Okay.
And then executive and then move to, yeah.
Is there like a licensing you have to
to basically apply? I took the professional accounting certification called ACCA.
Oh, okay.
So it's a association of certified chartered accountant.
Okay.
So I did that. Yeah, with that I, you know.
Yeah, so so like what, you know, how long did it take you to be in a position where you are now? Would you consider a project controller a high position?
Yes
and no.
No, depends on the size of the company.
Okay.
Yeah. But like my role, I'm basically looking after project.
Okay.
So currently I have about 14 projects under my portfolio.
Wow.
And altogether is around $220 million.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And I still can, you know.
Yeah.
Travel while working.
Yeah, yeah. I mean maybe kalau like someone as young as you, I think that's a good good,
it's a big portfolio.
Yeah, yeah.
The biggest project that I ever, you know, involved in, it was in 2014, 15. It's around, I can't remember the year, but yeah, it's about 10 years back.
Okay.
So that was like the biggest project in our division, which is around $245 million.
Wow.
And it's really, really complicated project.
Okay.
And I'm in charge of the financial. So that was my like baby.
Yeah.
And my like shining
your
point muscle, your in my career.
Yeah. Time to shine. La.
Yes.
So you know, like how does someone can get into this field? What are the steps, you know, to go into like what you're doing? Is there like maybe different sections to this in accounting or, you know?
Yeah, basically in accounting, we have like general accounting.
Okay.
And we have we have like project accounting, manufacturing accounting. That's sort of like accounting. It's accounting. It's just like a treatment, a method of recording all this account transaction, right? It's different. So I start my career with general accounting.
Okay.
So even in general accounting, they have like AP, which is payable, receivable, and the general accounting.
Yeah.
And then I think after a few years, for my career growth, my boss, you know, asked me to start looking after project.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where it start.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, until now. And after years of doing like, you know, working in accounting, I finally realized that I really like project accounting.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I'm still like you doing it now.
You know what they say, right? If you find something that you love, it's not a job anymore.
Yeah. Because even though it's like, you know, complicated.
Yeah.
But because I enjoy what I'm doing I don't feel the pressure.
So like did you further your studies after this ACCA, or were you just at the diploma level, and then with this certificate is a specialized certificate, lah.
Yeah, it's a profession. It's like if engineer they have the IR,
correct.
Like that. Yeah, so that the professional certification. So in accounting, ACCA, there are a few IECW or something like that. So ACCA is one of them. Yeah, the professional certification.
Oh, so it must have been quite tough as well. I can imagine.
Yeah. It's really tough. They give you like 10 years to finish.
Okay. 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years to finish.
So how do they judge you? They judge you they also, does that also require you to work at a company so they can?
No. You can do it like full time, or you can do it like part time.
Okay.
But there is a like part of the, you know, progress.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to finish once, you know, one module and after one module.
Okay,
so you need to pass to proceed and progress.
Okay.
So but the question is really, yeah, everyone like, if you mention ACC, everyone like, wow, okay.
Those in the field.
Yeah. And in the office, whenever this junior auditor came and they are doing the ACCA, and whenever they like knew about that I had ACCA, they was like, oh, we are like really struggle, you know, any tips and all, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
While working as an auditor, they have to study this, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's tough. But it's a paid off.
Yeah, la. I mean, like, you know, all hard work is not, there's no hard work that's not rewarded.
Yeah.
Like if
but basically, I don't have my teenage life because I have to, like, I really focus on my study. And when I start my career, the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I think I'm a bit workaholic back then. Until at one point, I think I had enough of this, you know.
Burn out.
Yeah, yeah. And then I start thinking what I want in life, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought to myself, what really I want?
Yeah.
So, is it money? Is it happiness, you know?
Yeah, correct.
So, yeah. From that point, then I think, okay, I need to take it easy in my career. Because I'm not really ambitious. I don't like put myself, okay, next 5 years I want to be at this. To me, I'm more on like job satisfaction rather than, you know, money driven.
Yeah.
So as long as I happy and it's like okay, so I'm okay. And yeah, I think balance is the key. So I just like I don't want to be in my, you know, that face anymore, so I want to find something else. That's why I want to pursue my, you know, travel dream and I start doing that.
Actually, start living lah.
Start living, yeah, basically.
Not live to work.
Not live to work.
Yeah.
Last time it just like crazy. I only have like because I work in multinational company. There's a like time zone and all. So you work in Asia time zone, and then at night you have to catch like Houston time zone kind of thing. So I slept maybe 3 hours a day, especially when we like. We get a new project and we need to do all the setup and stuff.
That's not good for your health though.
No, definitely not. So, yeah. So, lesson learned. Yeah.
Yeah. So, now you can do your work here in the middle of the jungle.
Yeah, provided there's no black, you know, blackout or rain.
Yeah. So, then how did you get into like this working remotely, and how it's interesting actually, because nowadays I think digital nomad is like a trend. How did you manage to get yourself as, would you call yourself a digital nomad?
I don't call it digital nomad because the nature of my contract is not a digital nomad for sure. Yeah, it's just the flexibility that my managers, you know. Yeah. I would say the win-win solution for me and my boss. So I get this privilege to work while, you know, pursuing my dreams.
So meaning to say you have created this, I mean, your portfolio and your work has already shown, because these your bosses already trust you to be away from the office, you know, to handle all of this. I mean, like, definitely, like, nobody gives that kind of chance to orang sugati saja.
I'm blessed actually because my manager is really understanding, and he's not here anyway. He's in Dubai, and the other one in the state.
Oh,
so we already like in different time zone anyway.
So are they locals or
no? We are not. So basically, I need to look after Asia.
Okay.
Geo unit and then project worldwide, and yeah, just manage, and they give you this, you know, trust. You just make sure everything in order, under control, and They are not micromanaging, so okay. I'm really blessed. Both of my, I mean, my big boss in US, he's like American and he's okay. really like cool and stuff. He always promote this work-life balance.
All right.
Yeah. So he keep in reminding us to make sure we have, you know, we happy with our work.
Yeah. Have enough sleep, sudah makan and all that. You know.
And he always like feel bad whenever he has to make like, you know, team meeting
yeah.
at night time, our time, because yeah. we have like 4 execution center we have in UK,
okay.
in Dubai, KL and the state. Okay. So to try to get everyone together,
okay.
It's kind of hard, except like night time for KL team.
So, okay. Yeah,
he always feel bad about it.
So like, yeah, when did you actually started to work remotely in
100%
2023
last year.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. So how do you find it?
Yeah, I'm happy so far.
So yeah. Means there will be a time in the day where you'll be focusing fully on your work.
Yep.
Then after that, boleh goyang kaki.
Yes. So because my work is more on analytical, like analysis,
yeah.
Reporting. So there is interaction with other stakeholder, but it's not, I don't have like back-to-back meeting every day.
Okay.
So I work on my own pace because we have deadline and all, right? So we just make sure that, I mean, I just make sure that I, you know, meet all the deadline. So it can be like finished within maybe 1 week, 2 weeks or 3 days. It's okay. up to me to, you know. Yeah. So if I travel, I try to manage my work schedule and my travel schedule.
I understand. So, like you said, your work is analytical, right? Correct. So, like, what are the things that you analyze aside from the going ins and going outs of the money? I've watched maybe too many conspiracy movies. That suddenly you find out like this company is buying certain things like R&D, padahal is like oh no, they're buying weapons of mass destruction. So let me rephrase the question again. So you mentioned like you do an analytical work, and I mean, as an accountant, what are the things that you analyze? You know, I mean, numbers are, in layman's term lah, boring.
Yeah, that's what I said, you know.
And you can see patterns in yeah. the numbers. Yes. And wow. Have you watched The Matrix before?
Yep.
Yeah, you know those
the green
yeah,
number, like.
Yeah, the
what they call it?
Yeah, it's literally called a matrix.
A
number matrix.
The matrix.
Yeah. So for human beings like me, we would see that. And for yourself, you're an accountant, you train in accounting. So all these patterns that you see, what would you normally look for? You know, like, are you trying to make sure everything is just fine? Or do you try to look for, is there like a certain small error and you try to find out, you know, and then you dig into it, you know, you dissect it and you gotta ask why is this, you know.
So basically, as project controller, I manage the project financial,
okay.
Monitoring the project financial performance,
okay.
and doing all this reporting to management. So basically, I'm controlling, monitoring in detail all the project spending.
Okay.
And I always have this, you know, like challenge with the project manager,
okay.
on all the spending and stuff. So try to understand, you know, why we, you know, spend, overspend, or
okay.
kind of thing. So yeah, that's the main monitoring the financial performance of the project.
So in some ways, you're like the bad guy.
I'm like a gatekeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
I have
yeah.
to make sure that, you know, there is like, sometimes it happen when project have, you know, overspending,
yeah.
you know, dropping all Definitely. The margin and yeah. stuff. But we need to know what's the reason,
yeah.
so that we can explain to management, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically my role.
Okay.
So I always have to, you know, talk to PM, challenge them, and answer to my boss, basically.
So, like, you are covering all of the financial aspects, like the wages.
Yep.
The wages, and also the materials that they have to spend on. Mm-hmm. Does it include like petty cash for like certain?
Because a project is just merely project. So we don't have that. And in my company, all this like payable and stuff is done by Hub in Romania.
Oh.
So my focus is just reporting. Analysis and reporting.
Okay.
So all this like other stuff is handled by other team.
Okay. Can you tell us about your analytical techniques and, you know, your processes of getting your work done efficiently, effectively, you know? Is there like a technique or a style that you have developed, you know, over your years of experience?
Yeah, I think, it comes with experience.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And like for me, to be a like project controller, you need to have this value. You need to be able to, you know, you need to do things in detail. So you really need to make sure, you know, like I say, it comes with experience. You just sometimes you just see the numbers, you know already.
Yeah.
Right. You know, yeah. It's just like
snap.
But thanks to technology, because we have, I mean, in our company, the system is there. You just need to click extract and do the analysis.
Okay.
And yeah. So technology really helped. But back then, like few years back, when the system is not that, you know, upfront, so it's a bit struggle.
Okay.
Because you have to do manual stuff and then you dump it into the template to upload it into the system and stuff.
Okay.
So it's a bit tedious, and tend to, you know, more errors and stuff. Mm. But nowadays everything's like stable. It's just like you just need to.
But you mentioned more errors would you mean like more errors on your part that you might have missed a certain thing?
Because it's manual. So you tend to, you know,
So then the report your bosses would make you aware of the mistake, right?
Sometimes you even realize this is wrong, you know, whenever you because the moment you upload and you check, right?
Okay.
So from there you know. But now it's everything in the system. I just need to run a code and extract it and you know, sort of put it into template and just produce my report.
Okay.
So easy way.
Okay. Know? You said now the system, the software is a little more advanced, lah.
Yeah.
Question is, can it be trusted to a certain level, or do you still sometimes, you know, like you really have to, you know how it is, lah, with people in AI nowadays, right? AI, you know, like how do I put this in layman terms? Macam the machine is automatic, but you still. You still have much other trust issues, and you gotta you look at it and you make sure, like, you know, there's really, because I'm sure certain systems there's still margin for error, you know.
Still, I mean, as long as we follow the process,
yeah,
that will be, I mean, minimize error. But sometimes it does happen whereby because I'm taking like calls for the project.
Okay.
Skip one part of the step, so the cost won't flow into the project. So I mean, they need to really follow the step on, you know, entering all the data into the system, or else it's just the same.
So if it's possible, if you had one small mistake or so, then suddenly this person or this subcon is not paid due to that mistake, lah. For example,
it do happen.
It does happen. So when things like that happen, how do you? I mean, what do you guys, especially someone in your position, what do you do? Do you, you know, like go, like for example, like some scientists, they bring it back to formula. You know, like you have to go back down to the scraps of it. You know, go to the drawing board. Does that have to happen sometimes?
No, it's just that you need to have the, you know. In accounting, we have this sort of, we call it like reversal entry and stuff.
Oh.
So we can do that, amending that by doing that.
Okay.
So it's not like technical, you know, configuration yeah. that you need to do. It's just like another entry that you need to post.
Okay. So it doesn't have to go no. back to, all the way back to no. The yeah. early formula.
No. Yeah.
Okay. So what are your ambitions for your career? You know, is this like the top of where you can be? Or is there like a higher kind of position? Would you love to stay in this line for the next, I don't know, till you retire? Or would you, you know, would you love to like look into something else?
Of course, if I push, I can like go beyond this position. But I, like I said, I'm not that ambitious.
Yeah.
I prefer work-life balance rather than position.
Okay.
So I'm fine with, you know, what I have now, and have this like privilege and flexibility yeah, yeah. to work and travel at the same time. So yeah, maybe I will. I mean, I won't like work forever, right?
Yeah, of course not. Like.
Yeah. So after retirement, of course, I want to do something else. Yeah. Not doing this anymore. I think. Yeah.
Because I'm aware that some people after they retire they still continue on because this is what they love to do, you know.
Yeah.
But question is, if you were to go higher than your current position now, is there a possibility that you might lose this way of life? You know, like not being able to travel.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. There's a possibility yeah. to
high possibility.
Yeah. Okay. So means you have to be yeah, anchored second, somewhere.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. yeah.
Okay, so this the pro and con on it
yes,
of it as well.
Always. Right?
The pro is more money, but yeah. the con is less life.
Yeah. I already have, I mean, like went through that at yes. early age, so I don't want to go through that again.
I understand. So like, what are the things you wish you would have known before you began this career actually?
Politics.
Okay. So it does exist in the...
Everywhere,
yeah. I always thought like maybe accounting would not have politics because it's literally just numbers and easy for people
not
to tell you this and that.
Yeah,
you know?
Not in like the line, but yeah. the environment.
Okay, yeah. okay.
So yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And then yeah.
And it's not healthy though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Stress. Percuma. Stress is stress nowadays. I think is quite free.
And I think in like works, manager is the most important, you know,
yeah.
role. Because if you are a good manager, you try not to, you know, vice versa. But then, yeah, if you have a good manager, you sometimes like we push beyond,
yeah,
because you know because of like what I experienced, because my boss give me like really. He really trusts me, you know.
Yeah.
He really trusts me to run the show here.
Yeah.
So very minimal like communication.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's something that, you know, it's not easy to earn, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah.
So like can we say that your position as a project controller, is that a executive position? Supervising
So my role is a bit like interesting,
yeah,
because
okay.
it's like standalone kind of thing.
Okay.
So basically how do I it's just like how do I like put it in a context? I don't have someone that I need to supervise. I work on my own.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically like you control the
yeah it's like consultant, if you like manage every the project,
yeah,
something like that.
Oh,
so
okay,
it's like
okay.
A to Z, it's on my, you know, in term of, you know, reporting and analysis for the project. So
but does that affect does that mean that you have a huge workload at certain times?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so but like our like nature of, you know, project, we get awarded like not like at the same time in a year. So
yeah.
maybe this quarter we have like two projects and then okay. next quarter. So it's always like continuous.
Okay.
So the peak is always up and down
okay.
until the project delivered.
Okay.
So it's not all the time peak time,
okay.
but it's always like have like
okay,
just nice time.
Yeah.
yeah.
So you mean like rewarded is to get a project or get a bonus from the project or both?
Get awarded, not rewarded.
Oh.
Get awarded. I mean, we get awarded, you know, with a new project.
Oh, okay.
Rewarded,
okay.
Yeah, we do have some.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like good performance, yeah, kind of bonuses. Does
the thing is, exist? In my company, we get like 13 months salary.
Oh,
we do have one contractual bonus. Okay. So basically, we work for 12 months, but we get paid 13 months salary.
Okay, okay.
So the contractual bonus, normally they will be paid in December.
Okay.
So it's for everyone.
Okay, so this is like, they give you a fixed monthly salary or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And not like certain projects, only like when the project is done, then you receive your pay. So you get, so it's steady income, lah.
Okay,
that's interesting.
It's a steady income plus you work for 12 months, you get paid for 13 months.
Okay. So hey, buddy, if you're if you are sorry to cut you in, sorry.
It's okay. No,
so if you are keen on studying accounting, you know, why not aim for something that like our sister Sue here is doing? Yeah, mm-hmm. You know. Go do your best and get gain your trust and get big projects so that you can travel and work here in Bari also like her. So yeah, what it was your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
Career wise, I think when I was still young, I'm a bit emotional.
Okay.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
Yeah, everyone does.
So, yeah, I was being hard to myself and stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, we learn as we progress.
Yeah, correct.
So, yeah, I think that's part of it.
So, what is the one myth about this industry you want to debunk? Yes.
Yeah. So
myth that everyone tells you before you become an accountant. Certainly, you must say, tipu saja.
It's not on the accounting thing, but it's more on the industry.
Okay.
Like, I work in oil and gas industry, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So whenever you say that you are working with oil and gas, everyone, you know.
Orang kaya.
Wow, banyak duit ni.
Yeah.
But that's not the case actually.
Yeah.
Because that's only applicable to certain roles in the company, not everyone.
Yeah.
So, of course, I do admit that we have like privilege, but not as, you know, as like everyone think. So not everyone get like high paid.
Yeah. Not everyone is highly paid.
As everyone thought. Yeah.
So, maybe it's only for those who work offshore.
Offshore definitely. Like, of course, it comes with, because offshore is really high risk, job.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have to sacrifice your time, your family and stuff. Of course, they get like.
Yeah. So, what are some of the great resources that really help you along the way in your career?
Yeah, I think it's apart from your education, the company that you work with, of course, your manager.
Okay.
In my case, I have my former manager is my mentor.
Okay.
She's really, she's really a good boss and she grew me a lot. So okay.
It's a she?
She.
Ah,
yeah. So I learned from her a lot. So she set the bar for me.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my. I think in a career wise, I think she influenced me the most.
I have to ask. So, in this accounting world, is it normal to have women to be accountants?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Okay.
It's actually.
Mostly women, or
not really most. Yeah, I think mostly women.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like. I know most women are like good with numbers.
Yeah, mostly women. Yeah, I would say that.
Wow. So okay. So this lady that groomed you, are you still in touch with her?
Yeah, she's like my sister.
Oh, okay, this is great. So you still like Yeah. Are you still in the same company or no?
No.
Oh, okay, so she's different
no longer,
company.
Yeah, she's no longer working, but yeah. Thanks to my boss. Maybe yeah. I can shout out.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. So like, yeah, give her a shout out right
thanks
now.
Thanks to my boss, ex-boss, yeah. Ilham.
Yeah, okay.
Who has like groomed me to be who am I now.
Wow. Yeah. Please do come on the show. So,
yeah. I'm going to drag her here.
Yes, someday. Come to Barrio, datang, yeah. relax, ngopi. So, right. Yeah, knowing that your job, you know, takes certain amount of time in your day and also takes it, you can say it could be a high pressure job.
Mm.
Yeah? Yeah. You could say it's a high pressure job. And after then, with all your traveling, so, you know, like, so tell us what are the ways for you to get rid of your stress, your hobbies, etc., etc.
So, yeah, travel make me, you know, it's a booster to me, I think.
Okay.
I cannot sit still.
Yeah.
If I spend like a week in my, you know, place, I just feel like, okay, I need to go out. So apart from that, of course, books. I like to read a book.
Okay.
And I'm actually thinking of writing a book.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So okay. That's part of my 2024 plan.
All right. So, what is this book going to be about?
It's about my travel experience.
Oh, okay.
And it's about Barrio, actually.
Ah, okay. Oh, this is the other love letter to Barrio.
Yeah, we have like something in common.
Yeah. So like it has a draft been started already?
I just started with the framework.
Okay.
So how I'm gonna, you know, the layout of the book,
okay.
The concept and all. I just finished the framework as for now.
So I shouldn't I shouldn't put a deadline. Let's not put a deadline yet.
Yeah.
But it's great for my buddy who's listening. You know, it's great for them to know that you got this in the works, so that I'm quite looking forward to read it as well. And fully endorsed by Radio Barrio and What's Up Barrio Podcast.
Maybe we can do the launching here.
Yeah, why not? Yes. Hopefully by then, other upgrades, you know. So, you want to share a little more about the ideas of this book? I mean, like, I don't know how, like, writing books go about, but I'm sure you must have an editor or a publisher who you are in talks with, maybe?
Yeah, basically, I don't want... Okay, this is like a travelogue type of book. And it's going to be a combination of, you know, picture that I took and illustration.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to collaborate with my friend.
Okay.
She will be my illustrator
for the books. Who is this friend?
She's here actually.
Where? I don't see her.
So I'm not gonna reveal her name just yet.
Okay. Because I think I'm trying to get her on the show. So
yeah, one. I think you should.
So tapi dia balik esok.
Dia balik esok. Yeah.
So it's gonna
be interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and
same here.
fully endorsed by Radio Barrio and What's Up Barrio Podcast. Mm-hmm. When it's out, I'm definitely gonna review it or something. I'll figure out something to do with it.
I'll share it with you.
All right. So can you share with us the influences in your life? Three people who've influenced you in your life, you know, your biggest inspirations.
Okay, I think I mentioned career wise is my former boss. As friends, my best friend Asia.
Okay.
She's like my really good friend. She's like with me ups and down.
Okay.
So yeah.
Has she been to Barrio yet?
No, but she heard all the story about Barrio. So maybe next time I bring her over.
Right. Yeah. Asia. Please come here, Asia. I'm looking forward to meet you also.
Yeah. So other than that, people that I met throughout my travel journey.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot from all the people that I met.
From all kind of walks of life. Huh?
Yeah. So this is like life, you know. I think I learned a lot from them, the people that I met.
And I think that's the beauty of travel. It's not like the beautiful attractions, that's one thing. The atmosphere is one thing. The weather is one thing. But I think the beauty about travel is the people you meet, you know.
Yeah.
And the experiences you have. Because
yeah.
These are the things you literally cannot buy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I came across like so many things during travel, and some people that I met, I just like, okay, I think we meant to be, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, there is one girl in KK that I met, and yeah. She has really a sad story.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, so happened random we met.
Would you be comfortable to share it, or is it too?
Maybe I won't reveal her name.
I
met her random during a sunset moment.
Okay.
And she's alone in this world, I would say.
Wow.
So she lost her parents.
Okay.
And she just live on her own.
All right.
Yeah, she doesn't have anyone. No sibling. Apparently there's no like auntie or uncle that close to her.
Okay.
And she just like, okay. So, but she's still, you know, she's still very positive. She's still happy with her life.
Fighting the good fight.
Yeah. She's thriving. But yeah. And when she shared her story during COVID,
yeah.
Where she's alone, she doesn't have any money to eat.
Yeah,
and yeah. There's no money to buy the, you know, prepaid top up.
Yeah.
And luckily she has like one or two friends, which always, you know,
by her side.
Reach out, yeah. And that's how she lived for the past, I think, like 2-3 years during COVID.
Wow.
Just the friend, like every day they ask whether she sudah makan or not and all. So just out of courtesy.
Wow, kasihan. Yeah.
So this really, you know, hit me. And before I came to Brunei, I mentioned I flew to KK, right?
Yeah.
It just somehow these people are close to my heart. So whenever I think of them, I feel like I want to see them. So I just go and see them.
So do you keep in touch?
Yeah. Just spend a day with them, with her. You know.
Is she a young person? Or?
Very young.
Quite young.
Yeah.
You know, like,
so we just need to be grateful.
Yeah.
And you know.
You know, like, there are days, personally, there are days where, you know, your inner voice says that, you know, why don't I have not, don't have this? You know, there are days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you wish this, you wish that. And personally, I would like have these moments of I don't know how to explain it. Of depression, maybe I would know how to explain it. You know, just like macam, you just wonder why your life is like this.
Mm.
You know, even not like you're like cruising on the high road right now, but then after that you just bump into stories like this, people like these, and you realize that wow, if they have close to nothing, and they still, you know, fight the good fight, who are we to complain?
Yeah.
We have roof over our head, you know, pillow to sleep on. We have food to eat. We have phones to go online, and then we pull up. You know, complain like, ah, my car is old car. I want new car.
Exactly.
Example,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, and then you like, I don't know. For me, I go into like this deep contemplation because I read books like The Life of the Saints, and you know, like, and see how they okay, as a Catholic, see how they just abandon their human desires to live a life, to just want to live a life with a desire for God. So these are the people who, like, some of them, like rich people, they just abandoned everything to live this life, serving the poor, you know, going deep into contemplative prayer. And then some of them end up writing books. They become like doctors of the church and whatnot, you know, bringing you like into deep contemplation about your relationship with God and how, as human beings, we are wounded. We are more wounded than we think.
Yeah.
Even though when we think we are okay, there's still that wound that just looks for that craving of that satisfaction of our human desires, which can never be satisfied. You can eat like 10 burgers sampai you kenyang mau muntah, but still macam tidak puas hati pula. You know?
So it really break my heart when I ask her, so how's your Hari Raya? Because she's Muslim.
Yeah, yeah.
So she said, I just stay in my room. Because she works in a restaurant, right? So they provide the room for the staff. So she's still in that room.
Yo.
So during Hari Raya, she just still in the room. I just cannot, you know. It just really break my heart.
I mean, she doesn't have like brothers and sisters.
No, sibling.
She was the only child. She lost her parents.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think back then when I travel, I just travel and just enjoy the nature and stuff. But after a while, I just feel like I need to do something more spiritual.
Yeah.
So I want to travel with purpose.
So has this affected how you travel? Maybe you have tried to do some outreach programs, helping.
Yeah, I did actually.
Okay.
So I start thinking that I want to travel with purpose. I never like disclose this like publicly.
Okay.
But yeah, so I start thinking, okay, I need to do something. So okay, I enjoy travel, but I need to travel with purpose. So I start doing that, and I start praying that, you know, I pray to God to send me this opportunity so that I can, you know, help up anyone. And it does happen whenever I met with a person that I always like pray for that I can help. So it really, you know, shows that, you know, when you have like good intention, so it just like what happened to you, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain, but it always come right at the moment.
Things fall into place.
Fall into place. And
I know we're from different religious background, but for us Christians, and especially we have one of the sermon by Father Mike, he says God is never too late, he's never too early.
Yeah.
His timing is just right, you know.
He knows the best.
Yeah, yeah. Memang cun punya masa. Tidak pernah awal, tidak pernah lambat. And I contemplate on that, like I go deep into deep contemplation on that, about things that sometimes I wish I had, or things that I'm working towards. And I realize that, okay, when the thing come right, I realize that as you pray for it, you know, you consecrate it to God, and you realize that when the thing arrive right, you have already been trained or to been groomed by God to know how to take care of it. Because one of my prayers is that if I want to receive a blessing, I pray that, okay, please teach me to take care of your blessing, to be a steward of your blessing, you know, not just to receive it and then later on never take care of it. And when it does happen, when you have it right in front of you already, you know, and you realize that, wow, to think back when I you see your intentions, right? Your motivations, your intentions for it, right? Like change.
Yeah.
Because the beginning, let's say you wish How do I not make this sound too dumb? Let's say for a car, maybe example.
Okay.
This is like the simple example. So like you wish for a car, you pray for a car, you work towards it, you know, you work hard, you're saving up your money, and then the first, maybe the surface part of the car is like glimmer, but you know, like I can use this car to like go everywhere, bring the girl of my dreams out to go, whatever, blah blah blah. And then as you keep going and you keep going, maybe there were certain obstacles that happened, and you thought that you can get it now, then certain obstacles that happen, but then, you know, as it goes, your intentions start to mature. You know, suddenly you have, you're able to buy a car to maybe help, send sick people to, or help out the neighbor, or whatever it is. It ends up to that your intention purify, you know.
Yeah,
that's what, as a Catholic Christian, we believe that prayer doesn't necessarily change the your surrounding. It changes you. So like, to be honest, I have to tell you about my intentions for Radio Barrier at first. At first, for me, I thought it was like, it's a good place that I could just like blast out my, you know, my music that I make on my own. Then after that, like slowly, like it slowly like change, you know. It slowly like what do you call it, grow into something more deep, like to think that, you know, like to see the youth around here, this could be a good place for them to you know, showcase. It can be a talent hub for them, create jobs, maybe, you know, begin the first podcast, you know, in Barrio, so that this is a place, one of the place where we can archive people's stories, so the next time your children, your grandchildren, your great 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 grandchildren, if they want to go back to, you know, their ancestor, they just go back to this recording. So that, and then they'll be like, so that's where my origin is, you know, something like that. So I don't know, it somehow just morphed into something like this. Hey, I'm back again from changing the batteries. Well, literally, we sampai habis battery, we cerita here. So yeah, where were we just now? I think I pun lupa sudah, where were we, intentions.
I just shared that I decided to travel with a purpose. We talk about that.
So has there been any, like, maybe something special thing that happened, like in this new mission and vision of your travels, you know?
Yeah, it does actually. So it started here also in
Barrio.
Okay,
interesting.
So last time when I was here during Pesta, I met with one of Paul's friend actually.
Okay.
So she's from Miri.
Okay.
And so happened she has this project, social enterprise project.
Okay.
And social project. So we met and we instantly click.
Okay.
And we talk about that, and now we are working on that together.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Cool.
So I just back before I came to Barrio.
Okay.
I just back from Pulau Brewit.
Okay.
Where we, you know, we do our social project.
Are you allowed to disclose what happened, or would you like to talk about it, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like collaboration. The project called the Good Project.
So you said you just came back from this social project with a certain friend.
Yeah, with my partner, I call.
Would you want to mention her name or?
Atika.
Okay,
Atika. We call her L.
Okay.
So yeah, we just back from Pulau Brewit. So basically we have this is her project basically.
Okay.
So she has this, she came up with all this idea on doing social enterprise.
Okay.
And social work in Pulau Brewit. So maybe I cannot reveal like all.
Okay, understand.
But yeah, I just like join hand with her doing this social project. Okay. So basically, my focus is in education.
Okay.
So I think I really, 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 you know, think education can change, you know, okay. you know, people, you know, if, I mean, in Pulau Buruit, it's like, it's really, so it's just that, yeah, I think education is really important to change life, right?
Okay, yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah, and I also like, I love kids and I like to be surrounded by, you know, kids. Yeah, yeah. So that's why. So we went there, we went to a school, so we sent some like a gift for the kids and all. That's the start. So I already like in touch with the Guru Besar.
Okay.
In that school, so yeah, we are planning for like more, you know.
Okay, good.
More project together. Yeah.
Next is the like, or you just cross the bridge when you get there, or do you already have something else planned next?
We do have plan, but yeah, so still, we just back, right? We have not like brainstormed the idea and what we need to do next. But
okay.
We do have plan.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So.
I'm actually. I'm glad that we met here in Barrio.
Yeah.
And we do the, I mean, we now we are like partnership doing that project together. So I will be coming to Sarawak more often.
Yeah. I mean, like you mentioned, right? Like, you know, you believe that people meet for a reason, right?
Yeah.
When you like walk in the purpose you're called to, you know, things will fall into place, you know. You meet the people who you are supposed to meet because you're doing the things that you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I believe in that. And I always believe, if it meant to be, you know.
Yeah.
That is not like random. It's just like,
cannot be coincidence. It's more than
coincidence. Yeah. It's just like too good to be true, you know, sometimes. But yeah, you know what you pray for.
Yeah, correct.
And
correct.
When it comes, you just realize, okay, this is the sign, you know.
Yeah. You know, like, it's great that you decided to like finally leave, you know, because remember we had the talk at the house, yeah. You know, at least if when your time comes, right, we don't know. We cannot confirm that tomorrow we wake up or we wake up well.
Yep.
At least you'll be there and you can say, I've lived. I've lived a fruitful life, maybe, you know. I've lived a life worth living.
Yeah, like for me, I live a simple life.
Yeah.
And I just be happy.
Yeah.
So, and I want to do things that make me happy.
Yeah,
I want to help people because that make me happy, you know, kind of stuff.
Wow.
And when I start, you know, change a bit in terms of like my purpose, it's really changed me, the whole perspective.
Yeah.
Different. So you start seeing things differently with different perspective. I think it's helped to make you more, you know, positive.
Yeah.
Grateful, content.
It also like softens your heart. Yeah. Yep. You know, you suddenly become more compassionate towards people. Yep. Like, for example, if someone was a jerk, you would suddenly start to think, I mean, that's me, for me. Last time, if someone was a jerk, I would repay him, like, all right, you did this. And like, I can be a jerk too, maybe worse than you. But then if suddenly someone is a jerk, right, I try to understand why he's like that.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
So, like for me, I don't like to judge people.
Yeah.
I can be friend with anyone. And I try to see a good thing in people instead, you know, regardless how the appearance, you know, looks. But I just try to see things with a different perspective.
Mm.
That's really helped me in, you know, managing the people that I met. I mean, improve myself as well.
Yeah.
You know, looking into things.
I mean, like you go deeper than skin, you know.
Yeah, that's why I put them as part of my influence.
Yeah.
Because they really teach me.
Yeah. Oh, that's like amazing. So yeah, tell us about your favorite films, your favorite music, and your favorite books. You know, the things that keep you grounded in who you are.
Too many films, I think. Okay. I don't have specific, but yeah.
The one film that you can watch over and over again, and you can still watch over and over again now.
I think P. Ramlee movie.
Oh, okay, because interesting.
Just like, you know, you can watch it 100 times and you still laugh at the same joke.
Oh, goodness. Oh, I remember they used to play P. Ramlee movies on TV2 last time, like at late at night. They don't do that anymore, right?
I'm not sure because
jarang juga tengok movie TV.
I don't watch TV anymore.
Everyone's streaming nowadays. What about your favorite music? I think you mentioned to me something just now. What was it?
I listen to this artist. My current playlist is Novo Amor.
Novo Amor. Oh.
I like that kind of music.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and I also have favorite song, but not from him, but from one of Indonesian band.
Okay.
So called Laskar Pelangi. Because I really like the lyrics.
Okay.
So maybe you can check it out.
Sure. I'll definitely check it out.
It's about dream.
I'll check it out and I'll leave it in the description for my buddy here. And you know, favorite books, knowing that you read a lot of books.
So basically currently I like to write travelogue. Okay. I read every, you know, genre type of book, but currently I bought a lot of travelogues.
Okay.
Because I just want to read, you know.
Yeah.
Others' experience. Travelogues.
Cool. So now, do you have any words of wisdom and encouragement for our friend, my buddy here, whose heart you're touching right now and possibly inspiring?
I think just be happy. Just be happy. Sorry, I think you need to cut. I want to say something, it's just that I... you just need to be happy. Okay. Enjoy every little thing. Don't take things for granted and love people around you. So I think, you just need to appreciate everything that you have.
Wow. And last but not least, shout outs. Any shout outs? Yeah, to your friends, your family, your enemy. Maybe the guy who stole your slipper. Tell them you want it back from them.
Too many, but since I'm in Barrio, I'm probably gonna shout out to my friends here.
Okay.
So the first one that I met in Barrio, his name is JC. So he's from Miri.
Okay.
So JC, and of course Paul Anis.
Okay, shout out Paul.
And I met few friends from here. So one of them.
Lisa.
Yeah.
Hi.
Raphael.
Okay.
Joshua.
Yeah. Joshua. Which Joshua now?
Joshua.
Joshua the musician? Or Joshua the anak of the ketua daerah?
Not anak of the ketua daerah. I'm not sure which Joshua actually.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But Joshua.
Orang sini lah.
Orang sini. And Joshua. Priska?
The working at the airport.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, Auntie Nancy, because whenever I came here, I stay at her place.
I know. She's such a great lady, isn't she?
Her husband, Harris, and her daughter, my sister, Victoria. Wow, so many.
I guess that is the end of our. We're gonna wrap up. Before we wrap up, is there anything you would like to add to this, you know?
I think I just hope that I can come back. I'm planning to come back during Pesta.
Okay, cool. Look, when things are starting to start to run here, definitely you you're welcome to use one of the places here.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
And it'd be nice also if we could, you know, your travel blog become like one of the segments here, like Sue's Travel, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, on WhatsApp Barrio. Exclusive.
So we can do like, you know, monthly highlight
sheet. Yeah, why not? Yeah, so thanks a lot, Sue.
Thanks, Jacob, for inviting me.
Oh, it's a great pleasure to have you. And for my dear buddy who's listening, thank you for spending your time with us here, even through the ada tergagap-gagap sikit. But thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you being with us. And don't forget to like and follow the What's Up Barrio podcast page, which is at the description of this episode. Also, I will be dropping the links to Sue's Instagram, and also she did mention
mentioned about the song.
And then don't forget, if you are still wondering and you've been following the What's Up Barrio podcast, wondering what or where is Barrio, get your butt here and get on my show, and I will bring you around, go makan kopi kopi. So thank you, and please be safe. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you at the next episode. God bless. Bye.